Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Dhruv Consultancy Services Limited Q1 and FY27 earnings conference call hosted by Kirin Advisors. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Karan Thakur from Kirin Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, Karan.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. On behalf of Kirin Advisors, I welcome you all to the Q1 FY27 results conference call of Dhruv Consultancy Services Limited. From the management team, we have Mr. Pandurang Dangwal, Chairman, Ms. Tanvi Avthi, Managing Director. Now, I hand over the call to Ms. Tanvi Avthi for the opening remarks. Over to you, ma'am.
Good evening, everyone. I welcome you all to the earnings call of Dhruv Consultancy Services Limited for the quarter one of FY27. I am pleased to share with you all an update on our business performance, the key developments during the quarter, and our priorities for the year ahead. Dhruv Consultancy Services has built a strong position as an infrastructure consultancy, providing end-to-end services across design and engineering, project management, and technical advisory. Over the years, we have developed deep expertise across highways, bridges, railways, metros, airports, ports, and other infrastructure segments as well. This is supported by our experienced team and established relationships with government and institutional clients. Quarter one FY27 was an important quarter for us as we continue to strengthen our core business while also expanding into new infrastructure-related opportunities. During the quarter, we secured multiple orders across highways, railways, consultancy assignments, while also receiving strategic empanelments that expand our ability to participate in a wider range of assignments. On the order front, we received a total order of 90 crore only in the first quarter of FY27, some of them being a 19.34 crore order for Authority Engineer and Project Management Services for 140-kilometer Rowghat-Jagdalpur railway line, along with a consultancy order for railway bridge construction supervision in Uttar Pradesh. We also received an order for 8.34 crore from MPRDC for Independent Engineer Services for the Ujjain-Jaora Greenfield Highway. We recently also received a 40.92 crore assignment from OBCC, Odisha Bridge Corporation, which is the highest ticket size ever bagged by the company. Another key development during the quarter was our institutional presence through strategic empanelments. We were empaneled by BMC for Project Management Consultancy for Municipal Infrastructure Works for a period of 5 years, and also by India Exim Bank for DPR, technical advisory works, and Lenders Independent Engineering. These empanelments provide us with additional avenues to participate in larger and more diversified infrastructure assignments. We also entered into the wayside amenities segment through a 15-year lease-based development and O&M project. We also acquired we have formed an SPV in which 55% of the stake remains with Dhruv Consultancy in Werul Drive Hub Private Limited. This will strengthen our new infrastructure vertical of wayside amenities. We believe this initiative can create an additional long-term growth avenue while leveraging our existing project management and infrastructure capabilities. Coming to the financial performance, Q1 FY27 recorded net sales of 15.55 crore and a total income of 15.95 crore. While the quarter's financial performance reflects the nature and timing of project execution, our focus remains firmly on strengthening our execution capabilities, converting our project pipelines into revenue, and building a more diversified and resilient business. Looking ahead, we remain focused on our core strengths in transportation and infrastructure technology while expanding into newer areas. Our international strategy also continues to focus on markets like Africa, Southeast Asia, Gulf, and South and Central Asia. Overall, we believe Dhruv Consultancy is well-positioned to benefit from the continued development of India's infrastructure ecosystem. Our priorities are clear: strengthen our order pipeline, improve the execution, diversify our service offerings, expand our addressable market, and create long-term value for our stakeholders. With this, I would now like to hand over the call for moderator for the question-and-answer session. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Tanvi ma'am. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question-and-answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. First question comes from the line of Mehul Shah with VS Ventures. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon. Am I audible?
Yes, you're audible.
So I just have a couple of questions. So
yeah.
For Q1 FY27 total income is around 16 CR.
Yes.
With like several new mandates secured during the quarter.
So yes.
Like what revenue guidance would you say for FY27 that we can achieve?
Yeah. I will tell you about the overall financial performance first. So the revenue of 16 crore that we have reported, this particularly is for quarter one. And if you have seen for the past 22, 23 years, the Q1 and Q2 have remained, say, 30 to 40% of our year revenue. And Q3 and Q4 have remained on the higher side in terms of revenue, mainly because of the monsoon season. And this is the season for the works award. So usually the entire Q1 goes in securing new orders. Q2 goes in mobilization. And Q3 and Q4, we start recognizing these revenues. So it is difficult for me to give any numbers as the SEBI LODR doesn't allow us to do that. But definitely, then Q1 and Q2, Q3, Q4, over the past years or so, also if you see, have been much better.
Okay. And so,
yeah.
Are you like investing in like any structured training or certification program to like develop the expertise in the newer areas?
Yes.
Like railway, aviation?
Yes. So, we have two kinds of training that is going on. First is a training known as Skill Bridge. So all the key personnel who are working on NHI projects right now are being empaneled on the Skill Bridge portal, where NHI officers themselves are interviewing these candidates in detail. So that it's kind of an empanelment. So once a key person who wants to work on NHI project or who we want to propose, we get them approved on the Skill Bridge portal, where their detailed interview happens for that. Lot of preparation is to be done because he's thoroughly scrutinized by an NHI officer. And once he is approved, then he can be posted anywhere on any NHI project. So that is one kind of training that is happening. Secondly, at our head office, we have a staff of around 80-85. So they are being trained on a monthly basis for project management. We are also in the process of developing AI dashboards, so that currently we are executing close to 70 plus assignments. So with this implementation of AI dashboards, the project management will be much simpler, and those technology front trainings are right now going on in the head office.
So as you mentioned, you have like multiple projects going on. So how are you like tracking the quality control and mechanism, and like to ensure the projects are completed within the time?
Yeah. So completing the project on time is not our prime responsibility. Yes, we are responsible and we help with the approvals as fast as possible. So our responsibility comes there when it comes to giving faster approvals. The project milestone, achieving the project milestone, remains with the contractor. Of course, we have to track those milestones and inform the authority whether the milestones are being completed or not. Secondly, our way of working is that we deploy manpower at the site location, the project site, around at an average of 14 to 15 key professionals plus sub-professionals plus support staff are deployed on the site, with an average work experience of 15 years. These are all civil engineers, most of them having a master's degree, some of them PhD also. These are deployed at site for monitoring the progress, the quality at the site. A real-time communication happens with our head office on a day-to-day basis, where our head office team, which comprises of general manager, deputy managers and managers, all these having, again, average work experience of 10 to 15 years. Above them, we have a CEO and CTO who are monitoring these projects over the GM. So a real-time communication in between the site team and the head office team happens. All approvals are routed through the top management only. That is how we ensure that quality control is in place.
Okay. And so recently you have received like 2-3 orders. One was, I think, from NHAI and one was from Railway. So what is the execution timeline for that?
So at an average, the execution timeline is 3 years construction, and post that 3 years DLP, which is a defect liability period, or you can call it a maintenance period.
Okay, so when can
70-80% revenue comes in the construction period and balance 20% comes in the defect liability period.
Okay. That's all. I will join back with you. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Neha Patil with Visible Ultra Source Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Am I audible?
Yes.
So my question is, Mr. India is in panel.
Ma'am, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but your voice is breaking.
Yes.
Okay, sure. Am I audible now? Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, it's better.
So my question was, is the India Exim Bank empanelment covering DPR, PAV, CFR, and lenders, independent engineer services, what new type of clients or projects does this allow to access?
Sir, can you answer this?
See, you might be aware, Exim Bank mainly has a role given by the Government of India Reserve Bank to fund the projects outside India being executed by Indian contractors. So our strength of the execution in civil construction is in Middle East, then Iran, Iraq, and Afghanistan. So even part of Southeast Asia, partly. So therein, Indian contractors like L&T, Ashoka Bidcon, and many others, they are executing the projects outside India for which they need a funding. Sometimes it is on PPP mode, sometimes it is on BOT mode. So like in India, entire process has to be followed by the bank. That is, first is due diligence, then loan syndication, financial close, and waiting the DPR and waiting the bid submitted, waiting the bid win by the contractor. So that is part one of the services, is waiting of the DPR, which is given by the Exim Bank normally to the consultants which are empaneled. This is part one. Part two, they also appoint us as an independent engineer on similar such projects where the work is going on PPP mode.
Okay. And my next question is, for multiple projects, how does the project management and billing process differ from project awarded by NHAI or other central government agencies?
Normally, lenders engineers fee are loaded by the bank on the concessionary's financial close or contractor's financial debt loan. So the payment comes through bank, but it is released by the contractors or concessionary. Through bank, we are getting the payments. Normally, in Indian condition, it is 2 lakh rupees per month roughly for visit on the site, once in a month for 2-3 days inspection. And also, sometimes it is a specific site visit based on the specific approval given by the bank to the concessionary, like revision in concession period or extension of time, etc., etc. So fee in international market is much better than Indian market. It is roughly 4 to 5 lakh rupees per month.
Okay. As per given the 3 years execution cycle, what percentage of this Q1 order will we expect to be a executed and recognized as a revenue during this FY 27?
Any of the order is having the work order is having the range of 3 years construction and 3 years defect liability period. So we have a strong order book already without Q1 add-on is about 250 crore. The projects which are there are at mid-level or at finishing level, or some of them are completed or might get completed. Few of them are at defect liability period level. So based on the existing order book itself, we can say order book in 2 years. So that is say 300 crore of the order book is there. So 2/3 of that is 200 crore. That has to come as a minimum in period of 2 years. So that is a rough calculation what I can say. But this year what happened, we have already got about 90 to 100 crore orders in Q1 only, wherein if you compare the last year, it was for entire year, it was 90 to 100 crore. And in Q1 itself, we got that order. And again, in Q2, which is in running condition, we have got additional 60-65 crore of the orders in our kitty. So what I can say specific answer to your query, roughly 15% to 20% of the order book gets converted into the revenue.
Okay. Are you currently seeing any specific BPR, TV, CFR or lenders, independent engineer opportunities? Emerging from Middle East, Iran or Iraq, and could this become a meaningful part of international business?
Yeah, Mozambique, we are already empaneled right now in this second quarter for one assignment. Ghana, we are the most preferred bidder or we are the winner, but turnaround time in international market is very, very slow. So because of that, orders are getting converted after 4 months or 6 months of declaration. In Saudi Arabia, we are trying to get some private assignments. We have started submitting the bids. One or two bids we missed because of this warlike situation right now even there. But we are hopeful of getting 10 to 15% of our order book from the international market.
Okay. In Q1, reported an operating loss of 3 crores. How quickly can margins recover as the new project moves into the execution?
Basically, this is only a paper loss, which is correction in the estimates. You might be aware, our revenue is based, it is an Ind AS type of accounting system, and our revenue is based on the accounts, our revenue is based on the expenditures done on particular project. So this estimate is corrected because of many factors, mainly the change in the policies by the client. The main client is NHI, of course. Network survey vehicle scope was removed from our assignment and it is given separately to someone else as a policy and all over India, not alone to Dhruva. So this has resulted into reduction in the work order which was given initially, and we corrected ourselves in a timely manner so that it should not be a wrong presentation to the investors and to the lenders. So this is a paper loss, what is the 3 or 4 crore what is there in Q1. But now the bids we are submitting are with a better profit margin for 3 reasons. And we have already won, we are H1 already in 2 or 3 such assignments. We have rated number 9 in India among the 100 consultants. And out of that 9, above 9, there are 6 to 7 consultants which are bidding, not bidding regularly or they are bidding rarely. So this rating has given us a bigger advantage in the sense that rating has been given first time a weightage to the technical score. So now we are scoring technically much better marks and we are loading better and better profits. So just I will quote one example in the Assam.
We have won the 6 kilometer long bridge assignment across river Brahmaputra, and we are H1. Of course, letter of acceptance yet to be issued, but we are H1. In that competition, there were 4 bidders. One bidder was 12 crore, another bidder was 13 crore, third bidder was 20 crore, our bid was 33 crore. Still we win the assignment. So you can understand we are best positioned today for better profitability and whatever loss occurred to clean up the balance sheets and the P&L.
Okay. Actually, even the stronger order inflow in Q1. Should investor expect a meaningful improvement in revenue and profitability from
Yes, definitely.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Priya Jain with Green Capital. Please go ahead. Priya, you may please proceed ahead with the question. Yes, you are.
I have few questions with me.
Yeah.
So the thing is, after securing this new Nagpur Jalalpur railway assignment, what new capabilities or domain expertise is group building internally for railway consultancy?
Yeah. So presently, we have a dedicated team working for the railway sector. Only for this particular assignment, we have to deploy 108. Manpower at this project. So deploying and recruiting such huge manpower is a big task, and our recruitment team is doing their best for it. So such high level, high expert manpower, all of them working for the railway sector only. So all these manpower coming in will further strengthen our railway sector. And as we all know that the union budget, since last 2 to 3 years, the focus has been railways along with the highway sector as well. So we see ourselves establishing ourselves prominently in the railway sector as well as we have done in the highway sector.
So one question on financial side, like Q1 operating margin was -23%, if I'm not wrong. What quarterly revenue run rate is required for the company to return to the positive and sustainable operating margin?
So there are two factors that that this loss has occurred. One being there are certain tax reversals that has been done, which is not in our control, which is controlled by the income tax department. Second being the current revenue base is insufficient to absorb the large size assignments that we have currently got. So the operating cost structure with right now that the company is operating is pretty high. So profitability is sensitive to the execution scale. So once with these new orders, as and when they start converting into revenues, the losses will be absorbed.
Good to hear. That's it from me. Looking forward to the updates.
Yeah.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Sakshi Shinde with Shah Consultancy. Please go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yes, go ahead.
So the question is, 8.34 crores MPRDC assignment for the independent engineer service in Ujjain. So,
yes.
What is the role of roads during the different stages of Greenfield Highway project?
So this is an independent engineer assignment wherein we are responsible to track the milestones, then the quality of the assignment, then the drawing approvals, the design and drawing. Although in case of independent, since this is a project of independent engineer, so it is a BOT project, hence the investment has been entirely done by the contractor and not by the government. So our role remains lesser than that of authority engineer, but again, the final approvals and the milestone certification, billing certification is being done by us only. So throughout the construction as well as the defect liability period, we will be deploying manpower at the project site who will observe and provide inputs to our head office, and our head office team then reports to the government. So we act as the eyes and ears of the authority, and that is why as a project management consultant, our responsibility remains to ensure quality, then material certification from where the material is being brought, conducting, whether tests are being conducted properly on the material, checking at the lab testing equipment, everything, then issuing approvals from the government side, all that is being handled by RT.
Okay. That's
a
number of projects across states are increasing. What system has throughput in a place to maintain the consistent quality and project monitoring across various geographies?
Yeah, so right now, as I said, that we are in the process of building AI dashboards. Right now, we are executing 65 to 70 assignments in the entire financial year. So which is the highest compared to any consultancy firm in India, even though there are we are rated on number 9th, but none of the consultants in India today have such large assignments that Dhruv Consultancy has. So we want to build dashboards. We are in the process of building dashboards wherein the entire, in each and every project, what is the current status of the project, how much manpower has come, how much material utilization has happened. So there is a detailed schedule given in the contract document of the contractor. So the entire schedule is being tracked by the AI dashboard, which we are in the process of development. So this will further enhance our capability to take not just 60, but maybe 120 assignments in a year. So this will strengthen our operational efficiency.
Okay, ma'am. And my last question is, as the large proportion of workforce is being engineers, and so what currently is being biggest challenge in recruiting and retaining specialized engineering talent?
As far as retaining, there is not much of a challenge because we have a huge database of engineers, and we being a listed company, hardly one or two of our competitors are listed. So that gives us a very big advantage when it comes to the employees selecting our company as their, that is why we are able to bag big number of assignments, because as you know, the consultancy is mainly manpower driven. So the more talent we can attract, the more number of projects that we can take. So challenges as such, not much, but yes, now with every manpower, we are trying to build their expertise with the growing world. Now that technology has also advanced to quite a higher level. So we are in the process of currently upgrading all that. And hence, a combination of the younger generation as well as the older generation is required. So those are the things that are going on the manpower front.
Okay, ma'am. Thank you for answering the questions.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Vidhi Purohit with Phoenix Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hello.
What kind of technical capabilities are required for lender engineering assignments that are different from drone regular project supervision work?
So for lender engineering, basically, there is nothing extra expertise that is required, but for a certain contractual understanding is more necessary. So we have certain manpower our senior management is a combination of government officers as well as people who have worked in the private sector. So this helps us these people have gained very good contractual knowledge for a period of 25-30 years that they have worked in this field. We presently have it in the airport sector also, the railways and the highway sector also. So for lender engineering particularly, there is no extra special expertise that is asked by the government, with the existing manpower, we can definitely deliver the services. But certain different contractual as well as financial understanding of how projects are to be executed, say whether in a PPP model, whether in a HAM model or a BOT model, the checking the financial viability of the project, for which again we have a DPR team which does the same. They prepare a feasibility report which checks the technical as well as the financial feasibility. So all this can be done with our in-house team also.
Okay. Now that you have secured the Rogat and Jagdalpur railway project, are you planning to build any new technical capabilities or bring in specific railway expertise now?
So railway expertise, like I said, we are in the process of hiring around 100 manpower for executing these railway assignments, and every week hiring is going on. Which is why our operational costs are quite high. Our employee costs have risen quite higher. With respect to extra expertise, I would say we are conducting certain trainings with respect to building information modeling, which is BIM. Again, it's an environment. It's not a software as such, but where we are trying to have an interface between the projects team and the design team, because design approvals remains our core expertise and the core deliverable when it comes to PMC projects. So that is why we are, rather than enhancing specifically for railway projects, we are in the process of enhancing overall for highway, railway, airport and other multi-sector projects overall, with building interfaces and AI dashboards, having BIM training, which is again, right now we are having only three-dimensional BIM. But if you see on an international level, people are having 4D, 5D, 6D BIM also. So I want to reach to a level where we can compete to 6D BIM also. And then there is another thing called as digital twin. So once we reach to that level of technical capability, we would be able to bid any assignment worldwide.
For this 140 kilometer railway project, how are you planning to structure the team, and will you mainly use your existing employees or you will also hire people specifically for this project?
No, so for the project to deploy on the site, all the manpower needs to be hired externally. Either some of them will be on contract basis, but total manpower recruitment being done is 108. So all these manpower have been proposed during the bid itself. We don't have an we cannot decide how much manpower or what kind of manpower needs to be deployed. That is laid out in the contract, in the RFP document itself at the time of tendering. So we don't have much control over it. As the contract document asks us to deploy, that level of expertise and that kind of experienced people need to be sourced out from the market and deployed. And our team has already done that 60-70%. Say in another month's time, we should be able to commence the project.
So with the stronger order in queue, has there been any change in the type or size of project Dhruv is now looking to target?
Yes, so this 19.34 CR assignment, then we already received a 40 CR assignment from OBCC. Another few orders that are in pipeline where still the evaluation is going on are all 20, 30, 40 CR only. So you can see the ticket size being increased from 5 to 10 CR to 20, 30, 40 CR now. Hello?
So are you seeing any larger ticket projects coming up in FY26?
Yes.
And compared to the projects you secured during FY26?
Previous financial years, yeah. So and already you can see the results. The projects which already LOA has been received are 19 crores, 30 crores, 40 crores, those kind of assignments. Minimum, I think, would be 8 crores. So we are moving towards that bigger ticket size assignments now. Like sir mentioned that our rating has improved. The NHAI has rated all the consultants that they are working. So we have been rated 9 out of the 100 consultants that is there, which gives us a huge technical advantage to bag large size assignments.
So how has the receivable cycle been in Q1? And are the collections keeping pace with the progress of the project?
So collections are typically the same right now. You can say minimum 60 to 90 days. Very few, I think a few states, say in the Northeast or where accessibility becomes an issue, it might go up to 120 days, but not more than that.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Wish you all the best.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question comes from the line of Mehul Shah with VS Venture. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. I'm audible?
Yes.
Yeah, I just have a couple of questions on the project. So the Wayside Amenities project has a tenure of around 15 years. So when do you expect the commercial operations to begin and when can it contribute to the revenue?
Sir, can you answer this? Hello?
Hi, yes, I'm answering.
Yeah.
Hello. Wayside Amenity Projects, we have got one assignment right now on paper, which is converted into agreement. We have won 4 assignments. The first assignment agreement is signed on 4th of August, and today they are giving physical possession of the site. So from today, our concession period of 15 years starts. Now we have selected such a site wherein 50-60% construction is already in place, which is done by the NHAI through their contractors and concessionary. So main challenge or main, activity on critical path is installation of a fuel pump, which needs minimum 4 to 5 months. So we are expecting to start the revenue of first Wayside Amenity project somewhere, I can say, in the month of February next year.
Okay. So February of next year, you can expect.
Yeah.
Okay. And sir, following this 55% acquisition, so are you evaluating any additional Wayside Amenities project or you are focusing on the existing project first?
Existing project we concluded. Now we are winner for another 3 projects. One is near Nanded city, one is near Latur city, and one is near Solapur city. All 3 are big cities. So these 3 letter of acceptance are expected anywhere in month of September. And again, it will be have a same cycle 7 to 8 months. To complete the balance work of constructions or activation of the fuel pump, and revenue shall start after 7-8 months from the date of possession.
And sir, are there any major project mobilization or approval completion delays expected in next 9 months that could affect the revenue recognition for this FY27?
No. It is actually what happened in last year or this year first quarter is basically correction of the estimate. So nothing big challenge is there. Our total order book is 600 crore and the correction happened is about 30-35 crore, which is completed now, and it is less than 5%. So now we don't expect any big challenge or any threat or any surprise for current year.
Okay. So what revenue are you expecting by end of FY27?
If you see again, our unexecuted order book today stands at 300 crore. The assignments are to be completed in 3 years. So you can mathematically calculate since I cannot make a forward statement.
Yeah, okay. Got it, sir. Thank you. That's all.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Saket Kapoor with Kapoor & Company. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Namaskar, madam. Namaskar, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Firstly, sir, I hope I'm audible first. You can hear that?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Sir, firstly, sir, you mentioned the closing order book at 360 crore as on 30th June.
Unexecuted order book 300 crores. Yes.
300 crore, and that will be executable over a period of 3 years.
3 years, yes.
Okay. And ma'am, you mentioned that 20 to 30% is what gets executed in H1, and then the balance 70 is for H2. These are the numbers for us to work out.
Not for these new assignments. New assignments, okay. The bidding will start after 2 quarters.
Okay. From the date of delivery of the order, yes. The execution will start from 2 quarters. Okay.
Yes, yes, yes. The mobilization takes time. So initially the capex is certain little higher. That is why Q1 and Q2 don't perform well profitability-wise. But Q3 and Q4, once the billing starts, as we have, these projects are good in margins. That is why Q3 and Q4 should be better.
Okay. Ma'am, even just on a conservative basis, and just to understand as a minority shareholder, which I am, How is the profitability trend likely to shape up? So you are very well versed and aware of the current, what is the current market cap and how,
yes,
brutally the stock prices have corrected. So that, yes, is on mainly on account of our, whatever the reasons, the losses that we have posted on the PBT level.
Yeah.
So if you could give us some color, how is the that line item going to shape up only, not no forward looking, but the context, so that we investors,
yeah,
can get some solace. Where is the company,
correct,
progressing in terms of profitability?
Correct. No problem. So while if you see Q1, also if you compare it to Q4, so Q4 had a 8 crore revenue, Q1 has a 15 crore revenue, and compared to the losses also they have definitely improved compared to Q4. Now while Q1 remained loss making, the operating loss, if you see, reduced more than 50%. So alongside there has been an improvement, like I said, in the revenues also. So what happens is that the project management plus the employee expenses alone are roughly 15 crores, which is slightly above the operating revenue. Adding to it the finance cost, the depreciation cost, the administrative and the total expenditure what we have reported comes to 20.41. So the principal issue in Q1 is, if you can see, the operating leverage. Our technical and the project delivery is a combination of fixed cost and variable cost. So presently, the revenue recognition policy also that we follow, like sir was saying, we follow an Ind AS, which is a combination of unbilled revenue plus the billed revenue. So the cost base that is there is not adequately absorbed. Since we are a large firm, we have a high employee cost and we need to keep securing orders in large numbers in order to sustain this cost. Now what happened last year, in the whole year we got orders worth 100 crores. This year only in 3 quarters we got 100 crores. So the cost base, the kind of hiring that we had to do, the kind of investments that we had to do in the project capex were relatively higher. So as the execution scales up from the order secured, improving the utilization and the cost absorption, this will be our top priority for the coming quarters. So we are not just focusing on securing more orders, but we are trying to now start recognizing these orders in billing. And once these billing starts converting, there will be margin improvements. So this billing is expected to start somewhere in Q3.
Thank you. Participants left the queue. Ladies and gentlemen, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. Reminder to all the participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one. As there are no further questions from the participant, I would like to hand the conference over to Mr. Karan Thakur from Kirin Advisor for the closing remarks. Thank you and over to you, Karan.
Thank you everyone for joining the conference call of Dhruv Consultancy Services Limited. If you have any queries, you can write us at research@kirinadvisors.com. Once again, thank you everyone for joining the conference call.
Thank you, Karan. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Dhruv Consultancy Services Limited, that concludes today's call. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.